All right, now we have looked at how mind transforms into matter in this new alchemical way of seeing, or this quantum physical way of seeing, because really the quantum physical way, as we are introducing it here, and the new alchemical way are really saying the same thing. There's a process. It was a 9-step process, but nevertheless, it made the first hunk of matter, the first cellular tissue. It is how the living experience of a physical entity comes into being. Now, so what? Now we got matter. What are we going to do with it? Well, we have got to allow it to feel. And by feeling, I mean the whole kit and caboodle of all of the experiences that a living being can have. Feeling is the basis of it all. It's the closest to vibration. It's really what makes life worthwhile. It's what we do when we are feeling each other out, when we're sensing things using our feelings, when we're thinking things, when we're intuiting. Feeling is the base operation of all that. It's the home plate of all of that basic structure. So, in order to understand all that and how feelings arise, let's look at something which we've just created, namely the cell, which just has arisen from the first 9 principles, or the cellular structures of which we are made of. Once you made one cell, you got them all. I mean, we made of billions of them. Once we made billions of cells, we got them all. Then we got beings come into being, and this is how it works. So let's now start with, wait a minute. How does this being, this conglomeration of cells, this configuration of all this stuff, how does it know that it is a thing? How does it recognize itself? How does it have self-awareness? Where does that come from? Well, now we're looking at the very first process in the transformative process of matter into feeling. It's the structurization or the formation of an I. Your I-ness, Your Highness. It's that coming into being. It's that I-ness we want to look at. How does that come into being? And what it seems to be is the following. What seems to happen is that in the act of limiting that which was unlimited, a self-reflection begins to occur. And something that gets limited, whatever it is that's been limited, begins to bounce around inside. It's called capturing the wave, collapsing the wave. We can think about it different ways. We can think of it as a popping the balloon. Whatever it is, we're actually taking something which is big and making something small. That whole process of collapse is what we're talking about. That process is what goes on when we begin to ego-wise, when we begin to make an ego, when we begin to make a differentiation of the out there from the in here. It's that process of bait, but now it's the process taking place in the human body. And what that involves is the symbol of the Aleph in physical existence, which in Hebrew is the 10th symbol, and it's the letter Yud. Yud. And Yud is like our English Y, it represents that symbol of the self in existence. It's the where what was possible becomes actual. So that's the symbol of this. The Aleph into the Yud is the formation of the beginning of an ego structure. Now, there's a problem with forming an ego structure. Namely, that whenever you limit something, you do get a limitation, you do get a cutting off, you do get a boundary condition set in, but you don't exactly reproduce what it was you were limiting. You produce a limited vision of what was what you were limiting. So in other words, whatever the bigger picture was, your smaller picture is not going to be quite the same as the bigger picture. We can understand that intuitively. There's a model we have in physics called the hologram, and you've often heard it said that any piece of a hologram contains it all. But actually, it does, but only in a very kind of a poor way. I mean, you can see what was captured by the whole hologram and a small piece of the whole hologram, but it's a very dim picture of whatever was captured. If you had the whole hologram, all the pieces assembled together, you'd get a much better picture. So that's what we're saying here. There is a limitation, and as a result, there's a kind of a befuddlement which arises, or if you will, a distortion of what arises. And this is exactly what our friend Plato was talking about when he said, when the soul gets encapsulated in a body, it becomes befuddled and confused, because it's now having the sense in a finite way. So, that's the problem. An ego is formed, it creates a structure, it limits, and by creating a structure, by the way, something's coming up that we'll find out in a little while, but we're actually creating memory, because we're actually creating a replication of what was out there before it got limited. And as a result of that, we're gaining the ability to think about what's coming next, what happened before, what's out there, what's in here, through thought coming into the limited vibrational patterns that have been created, we're beginning to sense and experience a differentiation, a sense of objectivity, a sense of subjectivity, a sense of old, a sense of new. We're doing all that. And that may be wonderful when you're just a little kid and you're learning how to walk and you're learning not to fill your pants and you're learning not to dribble the food out and snort all the food out your nose when your mama's giving you a bottle. It's wonderful when you're learning how to control things. It's just absolutely what you want to do. But after a while, it's a limitation because you learn, if that's all you learn, you get stuck in it. If you get stuck, for example, in only getting milk from a nipple, well, it's going to be a little bit strange when you go into a restaurant and you say, oh, the malted milk, but I need it in a baby bottle with a nipple on it. I mean, people are going to look at you, right? Well, you don't want to be stuck in every pattern you learn when you were a little kid, do you? So you got to learn how to let go of some stuff. You have to learn how to let go of egoic structures which limit the possibilities and begin to let them expand. And that process is probably scary for most of us. You're going to do it when you die, no matter whether you want to or not. You're going to do it. You're going to let go. And if you can learn to let go now, it's much easier to grab on to something new when you let go of what you're holding on to. If you're holding on to the branch, you can't grab on to the bigger sky hook which is coming down to save you as you hang on a cliff. If you don't let go of the branch, you don't get the sky hook. You got to let go of one to get the other. And it's that letting go which really gets us. But that process is actually a return from self into soul. It's the return from the confined self into the bigger self, if you will. And that's essentially all the game of Aleph and Yud. It's that game that they play, the game between spirit and existence. It is what is called the war with time that we are all engaged in.